The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers him all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the second chapter. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw out some of it and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants had drawn the water, knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of the signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message comes from the book of Acts, the 14th chapter. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked at him directly and saw that he had the faith to be healed and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form. Barabbas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker." The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, They tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, what are you doing? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rams from heaven to their seasons. And he has provided you with plenty of food and filled your heart with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them." This is the gospel, the text for today's lesson. Hebrews 11 talks about faith. It's called the faith chapter because it talks about the great saints all the way from Adam up through the end of the Old Testament period. And it talks about what they did that made them faithful. When we define belief, it is an assurance of something that we cannot see. But we human beings say seeing is believing. People struggle sometimes with the idea that God can still work miracles today. There's an old story about two long-standing Christians who invited their newly Christianized friend. I think Christianized is a word, isn't it? It is now. Hey, we have a president who made up words. I can make up words too. And their newly Christianized friend decided to go fishing. So the three of them are out in the boat fishing, and the wind blows a little bit, and the one guy's hat flies off, goes into the water. So he puts his fishing rod down, stands up, gets out of the boat, walks on the water, picks up his hat, goes back to the boat. The new Christian's looking at this going, "I don't know what's going on, I'm just not going to look." A little while later, the wind blew again, and the other Christian's hat flew off, did the same thing, landed in the water. So he too put his fishing rod down, finished his drink, got up, walked on the water, picked up his hat. Well, the new Christian said, "Well, this must be something the Christians can do. Christians can walk on water." So he got out of the boat and went whoop, right on down. The one Christian looked at the other one and said, "Should we tell them about the sandbar on the other side of the boat?" What kind of faith do we have when we are believing in the Word of God? We have Paul and Barnabas in our lesson. They'd just been to Antioch where they got thrown out. Paul had a habit of going to places, preaching in the synagogues. Usually he started in the marketplace, then the synagogues. Got himself into trouble with the Jews there. Got thrown out of the city, and this has happened again. Now Paul is in the city of Iconium. And the Jews once again have stirred up the Gentiles. But before they can throw Paul out this time, they come across a man who was crippled in the feet. It says, crippled since birth. It wasn't like this meeting was some random event. Not like Paul and Barnabas were walking and happened to come across this crippled man. This crippled man was exactly where he needed to be in order to be helped. Our text says there was a certain man at Lystra, a crippled in his feet, being a cripple from birth who had never walked. He was handicapped. There was no DMV back then when you could get a handicap sticker and park closer to Walmart. All right? He also didn't just sit at home and go, "Poor, poor me. Look, I've been crippled since birth." No, he was in the synagogue. How he got there, we don't really know. But this particular morning would change his life. For the very first time, he could walk. Our text says, "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed." In seminary, we were taught when we're preaching a sermon to make eye contact with people as though I'm having a conversation with them. But you know what the downside of that is? I see you when you're sleeping. I see you when you're playing on your phone. I see you when you are distracted. And then I see when I've gone somewhere I shouldn't have and you're unhappy with me. Paul caught the gaze of this man and realized he was genuinely interested in what Paul had to say. He didn't go to the synagogue and ask, what can the synagogue do for me? He didn't go to the synagogue to be entertained or catch up on the latest gossip. He went to the synagogue to hear what Paul and Barnabas had to say. He also didn't know that his life, both spiritually and physically, was about to change. Continuing with the text, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. You know, there's several miracles that take place here. His feet are healed, but he never walked. He didn't have the muscles in his legs to walk because he never used them for what they're supposed to. Your legs are strong because you use them to walk. When you don't walk, your leg muscles deteriorate. It's harder to walk. So he knew he was able to walk, but he also, another miracle was a sense of balance. Again, he had never walked before. You see, a young child first begin to walk. They do the stagger step. It looks really good. It looks like they were at the Willard too late last night, and they're walking around. He got up and immediately leaped up and walked. He had a sense of balance. There's a lot of miracles taking place in just this one event. He knew, this man knew what Paul and Barnabas had to offer. He had gotten Paul's undivided attention, where St. Paul stopped what he was saying and talked to him. He was hanging on every word that Paul had to say. And Paul knew that this man had the faith to be healed. Stand up on your feet, and he stood up and walked. How many times do we find ourselves in a crippling situation? Not, you know, born with feet that don't work, but other crippling situations. First of all, you have to identify it. Maybe there's not as many miracles today about physical healing to crippled feet, but God still does miracles as far as health goes. Most of us know somebody who became healthy again when all the odds said this shouldn't be. But there's one crippling situation we can all have, and that's a spiritual weakness. The days that we want to say, as the man said to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. Well, the solution to that is pretty simple. Keep coming to church to hear the word. And maybe you're not going to get something out of a message that I preach, but somebody will. Just your mere presence says that you care enough and it's a support to others. As far as miracles go, Jesus said of Jesus in Matthew 6:9, he said, arise, take up your bed and go into your house. It was Jesus who also said to the man in the pool in John 5:8, arise, take your bed, and walk. Peter joins in, and in Acts 3:6, said to the lame man at the temple, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Paul told the crippled man in our text to rise upright on your feet. Notice in those four examples, it was all done in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in his name. There is a great deal of power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. So we got to get up. We got to stop waiting for others to do what we can do. Get up. Don't let the enemy keep you down. Get up. Stop listening to those who would rather stay where they are. And we all know people like that who are just comfortable where they are. So get up. stop listening to them, but get up and have a little faith to tame your crippling situation. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.